The Flight Show is a proud member of the Blueberry Network. You can find this podcast and many more at blueberry.com. That's blueberry without the E's. On this episode of The Flight Show, number 63B, I continue the interview with Rebecca Ney of Tranny Rec Radio. We talk about drag queens, high heels, gendered identity disorder, and Thailand. This and more. The Flight Show, starring Kenty and Jose. Welcome to the Flight Show. It's the same tab can. Tab for my diet. Thank you, Cuddles. So, I'm Kenty, and you're listening to the Flight Show. This is the second part of the interview with Rebecca Ney, the fabulous Rebecca Ney of Tranny Rec Radio. Jose is taking a nap in the room this weekend. I just made 36 8-ounce jars of homemade Concord grape jelly from Concord grapes growing in our yard, I tell you. And you can reach me at 206-339-JOSE. That's a telephone number courtesy of K7.net. And that is maybe a toll call, but that's all it is a toll call. So whatever the toll cost is, 206, I believe, is in Seattle or somewhere out there. And I have a website, theflatashow.com. Come visit me. You can find links and find my show notes there. And let's see here. Ukulele. I don't really have much to say about the ukulele. You know how much I love the ukulele. I was just going through my sheet music the other day. And I have a lot of sheet music I found. I haven't even gone through. And I just picked up a book of Kern songs. So I can't wait to go play through some of those. Let me see if I can. Maybe I can play through some one right now. Right here live for my listeners. Kern, you know, the harmonic, the harmonies in Kern are very interesting. They're not simple. I mean, some of these songs, these Tin Pan Alley songs, are real simple, but some of them are really sophisticated. But yeah, I could do this. Let's see here. E, F, G, A, B, C. Hi here. Let me find it. Here we go.
Old Man River, that old man River, he must know something, but don't say nothing. He just keeps rolling. He just keeps rolling along. He don't plant taters. He don't plant cotton. And them that plant some is soon forgotten. But old man River, he just keeps rolling along.
Okay, I'm not going to finish it, but that's pretty good. I can learn that song. That is, of course, Old Man River from the wonderful Showboat. And let's see what else we have here. Ooh, here's one. Let's see here. Let me make some notations here. E flat, F minor, G minor, A flat, B flat, C minor, D. Okay, C, D, E, F, G, A minor, B. Okay, ready? Kids? Yes. Yes.
yesterdays, yesterdays, days I knew as happy, sweet, sequestered. What is this here? Sequestered days.
This is more difficult. See, these are the chords I'm not used to.
Days. Olden days.
Oh, okay. I'm not going to do this. I love this song. I'll do it next week. It's a great song, Yesterdays. Of sad, sad, sweet, sequestered days. So, let's see what else is there. Okay. The Podcast Expo is this week, which I'm not going to. But if anybody is, like, an independently wealthy and wants to send me, you know, cash to buy a plane ticket and, you know, hotel room fees and I don't know what else I need. I don't know if I need a car to rent. Probably not. I just need to get there to the hotel. Plane and hotel, the Podcast Expo, plus entrance fee. You know, anybody independently wealthy, you know, I'm talking about, you know, it's not going to worry about, you know, $1,000. You know where the donate button is. So, on with the show. I'd need this probably by Wednesday so I can make the get the plane and everything. So anyway, independently wealthy people, you know, really rich people who are listening to the show, who love me and love the Flatus show, want me to go to the Podcast Expo, I'll let me know, okay? See ya, Flatus. Oh, on with the show.
When shadows creep where weary birds are nesting, and twilight bids the sleepy rose good night, when drowsy breezes speak to you of resting, do they whisper that the world's all right? When you come to the end of the day and the night calls your worries away, do you ever watch the setting sun and dream of things that you might have done? Do you turn from your work with a smile? Do you feel that it's all worth the while? As you dream the twilight hours away, when you come to the end of the day, are you alone when twilight comes a-stealing? Or is there someone near to hold your hand? Does evening bring a sort of lonesome feeling? And is someone there to understand? When you come to the end of the day and the night calls your worries away, do you ever watch the setting sun and dream of things that you mind have done? Do you turn from your work with a smile? Do you feel that it's all worth the while? As you dream the twilight hours when you come to the end of the day.
If I'm still going to go to hell after that, then that God that's sending me to hell is an asshole.
Mm-hmm. Who wants to spend eternity with them anyway, right?
Yeah. Besides, if I'm going to hell, I'm going to have a lot of great company. So that would be my preference anyway.
Yeah. You're not going to go to hell.
You know, and if I don't worry about that. Because I really don't believe in that. I want to believe there's life after death.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the answers to that are not going to come from an organized religion. I believe that organized religion is all about money and power.
Yeah.
And you know, I want nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where my spiritual journey, after leaving the Mormon church, I just kind of logically deduced all of these things on my own over the last 5 or 6 years.
Okay.
So, I just kind of slowly molded away from Mormonism to agnosticism, and that's kind of where I'm at today spiritually.
Okay.
So hopefully that answers that question.
It does. It does.
But as far as the transgender issue, I started realizing that other gay men adored their masculinity, and abhorred mine.
At what age did you discover this?
20. Let's see. I was in the Army from 18 to 22, so right around 23, 24.
So you knew you were masculine. I mean, you butched it up, but you also hated it at the same time.
I did. I butched it up. And what I found is the longer I was out of the Army, the more that started to eventually peel off.
Mm-hmm.
And people would comment on this because I lived in Salt Lake for about 3 years, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
3 to 4 years. 3 years. I lived in Salt Lake for about 3 years. And people that had known me throughout that entire time had made some observations that I wasn't as masculine 3 years removed from the Army as I was when I first came out. You know?
How interesting.
And it wasn't that I was, you know, trying to be, you know, less masculine. It just naturally happened.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I concluded that how I was acting in the Army was kind of forced it on myself.
Mm-hmm. So how would you define that softening of your character from more masculine to more feminine? How would you define that?
My true self coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Coming out socially as a gay male gave me a lot of freedom that I never had before.
Mm-hmm.
So, to just truly express myself and be who I am.
Then
I started having problems in the gay community.
What was the problems in the gay community?
Well, as I started to realize that I wasn't just a gay man, that maybe I was a crossdresser, mm-hmm. maybe I was a transvestite, maybe I was a drag queen. You know, I went through all of those. I'm like, what am I?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have these feelings of wanting to be a woman. Is it, do I, will they go? And I wanted them to go away.
Mm-hmm.
I still wanted them to go away, even though I was out and identified as a gay male, because there's a certain amount of, I don't know if I'm going to be able to find the right word here. There's a certain amount of lack of intolerance towards feminine expression by the gay male community.
Yep. I agree.
Okay, good. Then I articulated that correctly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's a certain amount of intolerance towards feminine expression in the gay male community.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, you know, after about a year being removed from the Army, I started to encounter that. And what it did is I ended up moving from one closet to another.
Hmm.
And, you know, because it's like, okay, I'm totally expressing myself. I can have sex with as many men as I want, and I did.
So you said you were okay. When did you put on your first dress? And was it to a drag show, or was it a Halloween thing, or like what was the door that opened? How did that
the
open
Pandora's
up?
Pandora's box.
Yeah, I guess Halloween. Halloween. You're like, oh, this black dress is cut right. Woo!
Halloween, I think, is a tranny's best friend.
Uh huh. Okay.
Yeah. Halloween opened Pandora's box. I remember the first name that I took on, it was actually given to me by my friends as kind of a joke,
mm-hmm.
because I wore this really black dress and I had this horrible makeup job done by a drag queen
mm-hmm.
who came over and did all of us up, and she was running late, so I was like one of the last persons,
uh-huh.
so she did like 5 minutes on me,
mm-hmm.
and I looked horrible. I looked just like Natasha Gabor from the Rocky and Bullwinkle show.
Do you have a picture of that?
Somewhere. You know what? I need to get my pictures organized and create a Flickr account. That's one of my to-do projects.
Mm-hmm. I know what you mean.
Is to start chronicling my life on Flickr as well.
That's a great idea.
It's definitely, you know, I have all these to-do projects, but boy, let me tell you.
Well, you have enough to think about right now, so
definitely.
Wait till next year.
Oh, yeah, I think that'll be a next year project.
Yeah.
But, so basically, I looked just so Natasha was the name that I used for a while.
Natasha. Boris.
That was kind of the name I used while I was in Salt Lake City doing drag, quote unquote. Because after that Halloween experience, I started going to the gay clubs dressed in drag.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and that was through a time that I'm thinking, okay, maybe this is maybe this is it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I can be a gay man that likes to do drag just a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
That should be okay.
So. Did you perform? Did you sing?
No,
or?
No. Hell no. I don't have any singing talent, and I'm way too uncoordinated to get up there and jump around and twirl in heels.
I see. Interesting.
You know, whenever I see, I have to say, whenever I go to a drag show, that's one of the things that always catches my attention is how the hell do they do those things in heels?
Practice, probably, right?
I'd fall flat on my ass.
There's a story that Divine is taught Ricky Lake how to walk in heels.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they spent hours and hours and hours of practice, and I was just too lazy for that, so.
Yeah. Who the hell cares? I wear flats, right?
Exactly. Well, that's kind of my. I don't wear heels very often today for many reasons, but.
Well, they're torture devices. First of all,
They're awful.
That's misogyny, right there. High heels.
They are. The high heels are definitely a symbol of misogyny. Even though I love wearing them every once in a while because they make my ass look better.
At least you have your priorities right.
There's a place for you, exactly. I think there's a if heels are worn just simply as something, I don't know, that's a whole other discussion there.
Okay.
Whole misogyny discussion. But then I realized coming, you know, towards the end of my stay in Salt Lake City, I started to realize that it was about something more than clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And that epiphany came because I was involved with some student LGBT groups. I actually helped resurrect a LGBT group at Salt Lake Community College.
Mm-hmm.
So I was the president for 1 year. And I can't remember if it was during the year I was president or the next year, but at one of our meetings, we invited some transsexual women to come in and speak to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really my first interactions with self-identified trans people.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came and spoke to our group, my jaw just hit the table. I'm like, oh my God, that's me.
Wow.
you know, because it's like, that's me. And so for about the last year that I was in Salt Lake, I had kind of figured things out. I knew that I wasn't really a gay male, that I was really a trans woman. And I kind of, and looking back, and that was one of those, when you have those epiphanies in your life and then you look back on your life and go, okay, now that makes sense. That makes sense. And that makes sense. You know,
yeah.
And that was definitely the case for me, because when I was in high school, any time that my family would, I had the house to myself for like a weekend because my family would disperse and go do their own things, and I would have the house to myself.
Mm-hmm.
The queen inside me would come out.
Okay, reveal. What did you do?
Back then I thought that was just a gay thing, again. But so all of these experiences that I had throughout my life,
mm-hmm.
Whether it was putting on my mom's fingernail polish when I was 4 or 5 years old, to getting it, every couple of years I would raid my mom's makeup cabinet and just, have a lot of fun when nobody was around.
Mm.
And just little things throughout my childhood that I thought were maybe just a normal part of growing up. And for many people they are, I'm sure. Just because a kid puts on makeup, I would not, it would be a stretch to say that they're trans.
Of course.
So those type of things do happen throughout a quote unquote normal childhood.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, they became significant.
That's the difference.
So my life was kind of heading downhill really quickly, though, because there were a bunch of other things going on. I hated my job. I was working in collections and I was miserable. I was diagnosed with HIV on July 13th, 2000. And, and that was very much related to my trans identity, because one of the ways that I expressed my feminine self, this is going to sound fucked up yet make sense at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways I expressed my femininity was to bottom unprotected and let guys come in me. And that was one of my feminine outlets, because for some reason in my mind, and I'm sure it had a... Oh, you tired. We've got company again. Mm-hmm. One of the ways that I felt feminine was to have a guy come in me. And that in and of itself is misogynist thinking right there.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're all kind of... That is kind of pushed into us growing up. But so that was one of my outlets, and I knew that I was risky, that I was engaging in risky behavior, but I didn't care. But to at least justify my unsafe activity, I would get tested every 6 months, just to make sure that if I did catch it, that I wasn't going to continue doing what I was doing and possibly pass it on.
Yeah.
So it was almost like I kind of had a date with that diagnosis.
Yeah. So why did you, what do you think, it was any kind of self-loathing that you continued to?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because if I really, I would never do that today.
Yeah. You sound a lot, you come off as a leader, Rebecca. You mm-hmm. sound very strong, and you know where you're going, you know what you want to do, you know how to get things done.
You.
So to hear that, I mean, I guess everybody has to come from somewhere, and maybe that was a wake-up call, right?
Yeah, well, it's just one. I've spent so many years of my life hating myself that I let other people do it now.
No one really hates you who's worth anything.
Well, exactly. Well, the whole coming out process, I describe the coming out process, and this can apply to so many different situations. For me, I described it as one of the hatred changing from an internal one to an external one.
Mm-hmm.
Life is so much easier to deal with if you don't hate yourself. If everyone else hates you, then fine, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that's was the coming out process for me, is changing that hatred from an internal one to an to one that, you know, if somebody has a problem with me, then that's their problem, because I love myself and they can go fuck themselves.
Yeah. You have to turn from self-hatred to self-love.
Yeah.
You know, you have to learn how to hold yourself and comfort yourself and be there for yourself and love yourself. Who cares if anybody hates you? That has nothing to do with you, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, the Mormonism issue, when I was self-loathing and suicidal, and then there was that issue, my sexual activity, and it's one of the things that I really want to get involved with HIV prevention, because when it comes to reasons people are engaging in unsafe activity, I'm pretty sure that my reason, that I'm not the only one out there that was participating in those activities for that reason.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, when I would go in for my tests and people and the workers would ask me why I would, you know, be willing to do that, I couldn't tell them the true reason why I was letting men fuck me and come in me.
You're in the transsexual closet, right?
Yeah. I'm doing it because I'm a transsexual.
Yeah.
They would be like, huh?
Yeah. Why?
You know, because, you know, where the transsexual movement was in 2000 is probably the same place the gay movement was back in the early 80s and 70s.
Wow. Yeah, so you said there's like a 20-year gap between
We're catching up on you guys really quick, so you better watch out.
Okay.
The internet has played a huge role in that. I came to that conclusion, and then I moved to Port. Well, I had the HIV issue was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I was very public about it, because the way I deal with my problems is I talk about them with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what happened is I became a pariah in the Salt Lake City gay community really quickly.
Mm.
Because people started to see me as a disease instead of a person.
Hmm.
And so that, in addition to be hating my job, in addition to realizing that I was trans and not knowing what to do about it, what I ended up doing one day is I was working for a bank that got acquired by a bigger bank.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up posting for 13 jobs on the West Coast. And the only two that gave me job offers were here in Portland.
Hmm.
So I moved to Portland, and after realizing I was in an environment that was friendly and accommodating, I transitioned. And that was pretty much the last big change in my life.
How many years ago was that?
About 4 years ago. I moved to Portland 5 years ago, and for the first year I was here, I started on hormones. I found a therapist, which all of these things are required before you can. Before you can start on hormones, you have to see a therapist who determines that, you know, you are mentally, that is mentally what is necessary. They give you a diagnosis of gender identity disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you have that diagnosis, then a doctor will prescribe you hormones.
Yeah, I find it very interesting they use the word disorder. Because to me, it's not a disorder. It's just your natural being.
It's a double-edged sword. It really is, because while I don't see anything being wrong with myself, the ideology behind gender identity disorder is the only way to cure that is to help that person become the person they truly are.
Hmm.
So essentially, according to the medical books, once I have my surgery, I no longer have a disorder.
Okay, so once you have a vagina, you're a girl.
I'm a girl, which is not something I particularly agree with.
Yeah.
Because I don't define gender based on what's in between our legs.
Yeah.
But I define it by what's in between our ears. I think I've said that like a bazillion times on my show and different shows. But
sounds right.
It's worth mentioning.
Okay.
That's the idea. And the reason it's a double-edged sword is because right now, insurance companies still consider most of this treatment to be quote-unquote optional. So the only way we can convince, in my mind, convince insurance companies to start covering us is to emphasize this disorder diagnosis.
Hmm. So let me ask you a question.
So you can see how that's a double-edged sword there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, because you're sort of like dancing with the devil, you know, to call it disorder so you can get the insurance. Because this is my question. Is how expensive is it to have that? What's that operation cost to get that in the United States? Like on a roughly?
Between $20,000 and $30,000 is usually the average range.
Okay. And now you're going to Thailand, is it? Or Southeast Asia somewhere?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And how much does it cost? Okay.
Well, you can get and I just found this out recently from that whole JonBenet Ramsey bullshit that we all heard about. You know, he was going to Thailand to get a sex change, which you can't just up and go to Thailand and get a sex change. The way the media portrayed it is he was getting a sex change to evade the law.
Yeah.
You know, that was the underlying assumption there, which is bullshit. I don't think that ever happens.
Yeah.
But apparently the doctor he was going to see would have done it for, like, as cheap as $1,500.
I'm sure that, yeah. Look at my vagina. It's a hole.
let me poke a stake in it.
Yeah.
The doctor that I'm seeing, I found this doctor based on some other trans women in Portland that have went and saw him. I've actually talked to one, and there's, you know, based off of a referral from somebody who I really trust. His name is Dr. Kamal Pansertum. He's going to charge right around $8,000 or $9,000. Which is, you know, a lot more than the $1,500.
Yeah.
But a lot less than the $20,000.
Yeah.
That it goes for here. And every report I've heard about him is that he is very good.
So you've gotten your referrals, right?
And yeah. I got the letter from my doctor because most doctors that are accredited, including most of the ones in Thailand, they won't touch you unless you've got a letter from a doctor and a therapist stating that you've been living in your chosen gender for at least a year.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good, so, right?
Yeah. Well, that's excellent because, you know, it's one of those surgeries that you can't just change your mind on afterwards.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have all these protocols in place to protect them and to protect the patients. And, you know, I think some of the best doctors in the world reside in Thailand just because they do so many surgeries there.
Mm.
It's pretty much the world's sex change hub.
Really? It used to be Sweden, I think. They usually say, you know, like, what was that, Renee Richards? You know, she went to Sweden to have her operation. And I think Mexico, too, is considered a place where people went at one time.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are plenty of places you can go to get cheap ones. Sweden's not one of them.
Yeah, but John Hopkins, that was a leading medical center in sex change operations, I believe, wasn't it? John Hopkins, you know, in Baltimore?
I believe so. I haven't done, you know, to be completely honest, I haven't done... I knew I wanted to go to Thailand right from the beginning.
Okay.
Just because from talking to people, that was a place. It's a very popular, at least for trans women in the Northwest, it's a very popular destination.
Okay.
So there was a doctor that lived, that was here in Portland at the time I moved here, Toby Meltzer, who had a practice, and I got a quote from him. He ended up moving his practice to Arizona. But he was really the only U.S. doctor that I investigated.
Mm-hmm.
There's a doctor down in Trinidad, Colorado. Her name is Marcy Bowers. I looked into her a little bit, too. Mm-hmm. Those are the only two U.S. doctors I looked into. Mm. But, yeah. So I'm going to Thailand in November.
Mm-hmm.
And
how long will the operation take? Like, how many operations are involved, and how long will you be there?
Well, I'm going to get a 3-in-1 package. I'm going to get breast augmentation, tracheal shave, which is a reduction of the Adam's apple,
yeah,
and the sex reassignment surgery. That's my understanding. He's going to do that all at once, it's going to be pretty much a day-long operation.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be in the operating table all day.
Okay, and how long will it take you to get like the heal from that?
Recover.
Yeah, recover.
Well, I just listened to a podcast of a friend of mine. Her name is Susan Moses.
That's right.
Her show is the Talking Train
Show.
Yeah,
I've heard her on your show, I think.
And she does a show. Her show, her audience is transgender people. That's who she's talking to mm-hmm. when she does her show.
Mm-hmm.
My target audience is pretty much anybody and everyone.
Mm-hmm.
She chronicled the entire experience, and I have to say that has been very wonderful for me. I'm hoping that after a couple of weeks, I'll be able to at least get up and move around and do somewhat normal activities.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping, I'm going to be in Thailand for a month. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping at least the last 2 weeks that I'm there, I'll be able to, do a little bit of touring stuff.
Yeah.
Touristy type stuff.
Yeah. Is it recommended to have those three things done at once, though? I mean, that's a lot of stress on your body, I would think.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure my body can handle it as long, you know, and that's something I'm working on between now and then is to try and make sure I'm as healthy as possible.
Yeah.
Going in.
Yeah.
I've been on a cocktail for the last 3 years that, you know, the cocktail's probably killing me, but but it has been wonderful as far as the HIV disease is pretty much has not really been a factor for me physically.
Yeah,
it's been an emotional disease.
Yeah.
Which I've already talked a little bit about.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, when you say you're HIV positive, that a lot of things come to mind, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. in anybody's mind. It's like, you know, it leaves nothing to the imagination. And I'm sure there's still a stigma to it, not as much as there used to be.
Mm-hmm. You know, well, I'll tell you what, stigma is something that I'm quite used to now.
Yeah. So you're used to it, right? So it's not a stigma for you.
Well, it is. I'll tell you, I actually... It's debatable in my mind which stigma has more of a bite to it. You would think that being transgender has kind of more of a biting stigma.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that's true all the way up to the point to where, except for if I'm looking for either a sexual or romantic partner,
mm-hmm.
that's when the HIV issue rears its ugly head.
Mm, yeah.
Because people, you know, you know, and I'm going to talk about this more in my show. I want to do an entire show devoted to, you know, the issues that I face as a person with HIV disease, you know, because it's like, you know, now that I'm kind of becoming single again, I've been in a relationship for 4 years that is slowly and gently coming to an end.
Yeah, I recognize that on some of your shows. You're talking about your boyfriend. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and see, I'll tell you, Alex, I'm always gonna love him,
mm-hmm.
and I want to be friends with him my entire life. He comes from rural Oregon, and to be honest with you, any rural area of the country is generally a little less enlightened and a little bit more bigoted.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say that everybody in rural areas are like that, because I'm sure there are some I'm sure there are some wonderful people living in rural parts of the country. You know, when I met him, we went on a date, and then we went on our first date. We didn't do anything. you know, other than just a little bit of foreplay here and there and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Between the second and the third grade, I called him and said, Alex, I have HIV. And before you make a decision on our relationship, I would ask you to get on the internet and do some information and look up information about HIV disease.
Did he meet you as a transgendered woman? I mean,
he did. Here's what's interesting. I had never been in a relationship ever, and I had wanted one for years and years. But I did, you know, and right after I transitioned, I had kind of given up on looking,
mm-hmm.
and that's when I met someone.
That's how it always works out, right?
Well, it does. It really does. It's like I've discovered that if I want to be in a relationship, all I have to do is not look for one. Right now, just coming out of a four-year relationship,
yeah,
that's kind of a cuss word for me right
mm-hmm.
now. I'm looking for being single is something I'm kind of looking forward to, at least for a while.
Yeah, for healing and stuff, you know, I think
you need that. But you know, so that approach worked well with Alex. But I'm not going to fool myself. Most people are going to see me as a disease and not a person.
Mm-hmm.
If I tell them too early in meeting, they're going to see me as a disease. If I wait too long, I'm going to be dishonest.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like...
You're fucked if you don't.
Fucked if you don't. Exactly. Exactly. So, and these are issues that are really not being talked about anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's forthcoming on Training Wreck Radio.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Talk a little bit about my show.
Oh, yeah, talk about your show, because I wanted to ask you about what you're going to be doing on your show and what's coming up.
We haven't really talked about my show at all.
Okay, well, we'll go on. Now let's talk about your show.
Well, the show I started a year ago, and I started it as an audio blog. The reason it's an audio blog is because I want the freedom to do whatever the fuck I want on it.
Mm-hmm.
I came up with the name Tranny Wreck because I have a twisted sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Your listeners have probably caught on to that by now.
I'm sure. And I have twisted listeners, so, you know.
Man, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
A match made in
heaven.
That's
right.
I started the name Tranny Wreck. I pulled it out of my ass.
Mm-hmm. It's a great name. And I love the opening with the train sound.
Thank you.
It's very clever. It's very good. I like it a lot.
Yeah. The show opens with the sound of a train crashing.
Mm-hmm.
It's an audio blog where there are two things that I focus on: making people laugh and educating them.
Okay.
Because both of those things are very important to me. We don't have enough comedy in our society. People need to laugh a lot more often than they do, especially in the climate that exists in the United States, which is, you know, serious in and of itself and also great comedy material.
Mm-hmm. And sad.
But I do talk a lot, you know, politics come up on my show from time to time because it's something I care about. It's really not a show about transgender issues. It's a show hosted by a transgender woman who cares about those issues.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I kind of describe my show. As far as what's coming up, well, I'm going to be going to Thailand in November. I'm definitely going to document it on audio. I haven't decided whether I'm going to video podcast it or not. I haven't really gotten involved with video podcasting yet, but it's something I'm interested in.
Yeah, I did a couple of them. They take a long time to get together.
That's what I've heard. I've heard that video podcasting takes even more time than audio, and I'm thinking,
yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
So that's kind of... You know, where I'm at, I'm going to start talking. I bring up the HIV issue from time to time on my show. I'm going to start delving into that a little bit more and speaking out about that. We're in an election season,
mm-hmm.
and some have told me that there's already enough people speaking out against the war. I disagree with that. Mm-hmm. I think there needs... I don't think there can be enough people speaking out against the war. Mm-hmm. Because if there were enough people speaking out against it, our troops would be home.
Most definitely. So, most definitely.
And so, you know, with the election season coming up, you know, I've done a little bit of volunteering. I'm going to try and do a little bit more, and I'm going to try and capture audio from canvassing and what have you. And so, you know, the politics is definitely a passion of mine, too. Mm, so
okay.
Lots of stuff going on.
Okay.
I'm a busy whore.
So, okay, with this operation, right, that will be like the end of your transition, right? Is that what you consider? How will you look at yourself after the operation? You know,
I will look at myself as a real and true woman. No, I'm kidding.
like Pinocchio, right? Like you're just Pinocchio. A little wooden girl now, and you'll be a real girl.
Yeah, I like to joke about that because you know I'm a fake woman right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, well, I mean, because they call it transitioning, right? So that's my question.
It'll signify the end of a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's going to, you know, as far as it'll signify the end of a journey and hopefully the beginning of a new one.
Okay.
That'll involve a lot of sex, hopefully.
So now what's your 5-year plan, Rebecca?
Well, you know, basically once I get the surgery done, I will consider that chapter of my life closed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always going to be an activist for transgender causes. That's always going to be an issue I'm passionate about.
Will you always consider yourself transgendered?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
So that's something...
Yeah,
always say that. That's always an
identification. Yeah, I'm always going to consider myself to be a trans woman. Mm-hmm. And not really because of my anatomy, but because of the journey.
Yeah.
It's a part of who I am.
That makes sense.
Just like the Mormon, I still consider myself to be Mormon culturally
mm-hmm.
because I grew up around it, and my life was significantly influenced by that. It's a part of who I am.
Yeah, you can't deny it.
You know, and I do the cultural aspects of being Mormon. I embrace that. I want nothing to do with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but I love the Mormon people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love the doctrine still fascinates me. The history still fascinates me. And the culture. And I enjoy many aspects of Mormon culture. Mm. So,
we're gonna have
aside
to,
from the...
We're going to have a conference call with Joe G. And we can talk about doctrine.
Who's
he's
he?
He's Beppe Podcast. You ever hear him?
Oh, okay.
I did.
I have not.
He's a great... He talked about religion and spirituality and... He was a fundamentalist. He got involved with fundamentalism, and then he left that, and he was a Quaker for 20 years. Now he's
Has he been on your show?
Yeah, he has.
I'm confessing that I haven't listened to every episode.
Okay, it's called Trans Religionist, actually. I said, you're like a trans religionist, like, you know, transsexuals. But he's a trans religionist, changing from one religion to another. But, you know.
Ooh, I'm going to have to go back and listen. Yeah, that one sounds interesting.
It's very interesting. It's very interesting. But, we should do a conference call with three of us and talk about religion.
We'll do a three-way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, baby.
The Jesus, God, and the Holy Ghost.
Oh, yes. I want to be the Holy Ghost.
Okay. Carson 5.
Yes. Honey.
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 Oh, yeah. Miss what's her name?
Cheryl Murkowski. So, you know, that's pretty much it.
That's it.
You did warn me this was going to be a 90-minute conversation.
Yeah, it lasts about that long. And then he just poops out, but I think you ought to get involved with politics, Miss Rebecca. I think you'd be very good with that. You're very good clear talker, you know, you can speak well. I think you should do that. I think you ought to think about that. Get involved with that or legals or lawyer or do something like that.
The next major change in my life after I get my surgery is going to be professionally.
Mm-hmm.
Right now I'm working for a bank. I'm in a job that bores me. I'm not being challenged. There's no creative outlet. Mm. There's no autonomy.
Yep. I know
and
that.
I need all those things in my life. And politics is the perfect.
That's right.
The perfect solution.
I think you'd be a great politician. Politicians I think are bad, but I think you're a leader. I think you're a leader. You're a leader that needs to start leading. I mean, really, I think you're leading already.
So, thank you. Well, you know, it's interesting. I think I have a decent audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very flattered by the audience I have. I think because of the name of my show, I think a lot of people don't give my show a chance.
And that's why,
based on who I am, and because of the name of my show, which I think is unfortunate.
It is,
but you know, fuck them.
That's right. I'm going to say this though, my flatus listeners, whoever's listening to this, I want you to go listen to Tranny Wreck. If you don't know what it's like, if you don't have any idea. Take a listen. Take a chance. Download it. You know, it's not the end of the world to listen to Rebecca Ney on Training Wreck Radio, because you'll be surprised what you'll learn and how wonderful it is, and what a unique perspective she brings to issues.
Well, and I'll say this. People think that transgender issues don't affect them. Well, I'm not transgender. Why do I need to listen to this show?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has a gender. And everybody has been socialized in the gender that they're living in, and it affects it affects your perception on everything. And if you start to educate yourself on transgender issues, what you will find is that your vision on how you're perceiving people will start to change. Maybe not a lot, maybe so. But it will change,
because
mm-hmm. you'll start to notice things that you didn't notice before. And I know that's the case with me personally, being a trans person.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be curious to know if that has happened to some of my listeners that are not trans.
Well, you know, I look at people differently. I mean, I look at
do you?
I do, and transgendered people, and like I said, this, my example earlier is that. Many transgendered people seemed afraid, but I can understand that, you know.
Hold on.
Sure.
Okay. I just got a call. I got to tell her I'm on the phone. I got a call from Marty Abernathy.
Oh, well, tell her I said hello.
I'm trying to type with one hand because I got the microphone.
Okay.
There. Just told her, I'm on the phone, whore.
Maybe we ought to stop this conversation. This will be maybe 3 episodes long, you know?
Wow. Wow. You're giving me all kinds of love.
Yeah.
I appreciate
You know what? I support, you know, I like supporting, you know, people I like. So, you know, you're one of them. So.
Well, I definitely... Well, see, you know, I'm kind of in a position right now where it's like I'm getting so much support, especially from the Queer Potter community.
Mm-hmm.
That it's like I want to listen to everybody's show. It's like,
well, you can't listen to everybody.
Fortunately, I'm in a boring job to where I have 40 hours a week mm-hmm. to listen to podcasts,
mm-hmm.
but that time gets taken up quite a bit. I have to kind of jump around everybody's show because it's like...
yeah. Well, I try to listen to as many as I can, and some I might only listen to once or twice, and then I'll go back to it, you know, and then you find out, you know, it gives you, you know, you have to give them time. But, you know, Madge Weinstein, she gives you a lot of... She pimps your show a lot.
She does.
She does.
And I'm very appreciative to everything that, you know, she has done for not only me, but just for our community.
Yeah, yeah.
I consider her to be a leader in this queer podcasting movement.
Oh, yeah. She's a business leader, of course. That's
uh-huh.
for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Ken.
Anytime.
For letting me come on all over your show.
That's fine. Anytime you want. I'll be in that Portland, Vancouver, Washington area next year. So I'll let you know ahead of time, and we'll do another interview live.
We'll have to do a show.
Yeah, we'll do a show. Yeah, that's what podcasters do best.
Exactly. You know I'll have my portable.
Well, take care, Rebecca.
All right. Bye, Ken.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Flaith Show. You can reach me at 206-339-JOSE, or you can reach me at Kenty@theflaithshow.com. Thank you for listening.